Please note these names. Riyad Ashirin, Abbasum Bidde, Rubana Nisha, Riyad Shazia Rizvi, Bidde Sayyid Rada Hussain, Riyad Ittihad Hussain, Ibn Sayyid Ahmad Hussain, Ghulam Raza Bhatt, Ibn Miran Bhatt, Alek Ghulam Haider, Ibn Alek Alam Khan, Munir Hussain Rizvi, Inte Urban Alisha. Please decide the Surah Fatiha for these honorables. سيدنا ومولانا أبو القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ولا تركنوا إلى الذين ظلموا فتمسكم النار وما لكم من دون الله من أولياء ولا ثم لا تنصرون. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
My friends, what we have been discussing is dhulm and its aspects, and what is dhulm, how do we recognize dhulm, why does it occur? Today, I define what is adl and what is dhulm. And we understood that at different levels, justice and injustice has different meanings. When it came to language, they define it as to put anything in its proper place is justice. And to take it out of its proper place is injustice. And then in terms of Sharia and Islamic law, it is defined as to give the right back to its rightful owner. Meaning, when the right of a person is given back to him, then this is called justice. And if the right of a person is taken away from him, then this is injustice. Then when we saw Allah and His being, then justice in Allah is that He does all that which is good, and He will not do anything that is evil. So here in when it came to Allah's being, it is defined by good and evil. And when it came to His creation, that is us human beings and others like us, then in that way we see that adl is defined as doing all that is wajib on us, and dhulm is defined as not to do anything that is haram. So in our terms, it is known through wajib and haram. That's how, for example, Allah's adalat is decided through good and evil. Our adalat and justice is known through wajib and haram. Until here, we understood yesterday, and also the fact that this whole world that Allah has made, He has made on justice and adl. This whole world and everything that's in it, He has made based upon justice. Everything being in its proper place and everything being good. And hence, now you see that when we see the goodness that is injustice, And when we see the evil that is in zulm and injustice, the question comes that why do people, knowing that zulm is the worst thing and the worst of evils, why do they do zulm? Why would anyone do injustice knowing that it's the worst evil? And I say the worst evil just to make you understand that it is truly worse than any other sin, than any other evil that exists. And the youngsters who are here, I want them to understand what I mean by this. You see, the Islamic law has rules and laws that are meant for normal circumstances. If the circumstances change and you reach a point of extreme necessity, the law of Islam is flexible, and it also changes in dire situations. For example, if you are hungry and without food, and you reach a point that you're going to die, then that meat that was haram in normal circumstances will become halal for you to eat. Even the alcohol that was haram in normal circumstances will be halal for you to drink. And obviously to that extent which you need to. Because a lot of people think that once you have a taste for it, then now you can. No, only that amount that is needed to keep you alive. Only that much. So obviously it doesn't mean that you're going to have, for example, you're hungry and you're about to die, so now you have a full meal of haram meat and drinks. No, only that extent that you need in order to live. You see that? Islamic law has such flexibility that when it comes to necessity, when it comes to an extreme and dire situation, it can change itself in order to accommodate you, in order to save your life, in order to save yourself from harm. You see, Islam is so flexible that it allows you to do that haram, and it allows haram to become halal. You see that? It allows haram to become halal. Now, in any situation, now when you see this, all haram will become halal in a dire situation. When you're about to die, to save your life, you can eat haram, you can lie, you can do ghibat in order to save your life. When your life is in question, Allah allows you to do all haram except for zulm. You see that? Except for injustice and being unjust to others. You see, when Allah allowed everything in order to save your life, but in order to save your life, if you have to do zulm on others, Allah does not allow that. So from here you can understand how evil is zulm in the eyes of Allah and the Islamic law. When you, what Allah means by injustice, that all the haram becomes halal in a dire situation, but zulm Allah has not made halal in any situation. You cannot do injustice to others in any situation and harm others in any situation. This, my brothers and sisters, from here we understand that this is zulm. The world knows it, everyone knows that it's bad, so why do people do it? Why do people do zulm? Why do they do injustice? When we look at the world and we ask the experts of why this happens, they say, you see, when a person becomes rich and influential, and when he becomes powerful, and he becomes mighty. He has a lot of might and power. Then this is the expression of his power, that he does dhulm on those who are weak. Those who are strong, you'll see this. If you have one kid in school who's strong, in your class who's really strong, then you see he starts to do injustice to others, bully around others. Now, why is he doing that? They say, but because he's stronger than others, that's why he needs to express his strength and power, so he does that. He does good on others, injustice on others, he harms others because he's stronger. And when it comes to nations, it's the same thing. When a nation becomes very strong and powerful, then the expression of its power is that it does dhulm. It does dhulm on others. So in other words, the result of this argument is that dhulm and injustice is a result of power. It's a result of being mighty. When you become powerful, then you do dhulm. If you are weak, you won't be doing dhulm. I mean, if you didn't have the power to harm someone or hurt someone, so how can you harm them? You won't have it. So in this logic, it says that no, dhulm and injustice is done when you are strong and you express your strength by doing dhulm on others. Understand what I'm saying? This is what the dunya says about where zulm comes from. If you read what they say and if you see what they say, this is what they say. And to a normal person, this sounds right. Yeah, they are strong, that's why they do zulm. They are big, that's why they harm others. They have power, so they are able to beat down on others. This is, so now here we see, dhulm is the result of strength and power in the eyes of dunya. Now we need to see, what does Islam say about this? What does Islam say, what is dhulm? And let me explain that to you, said the salawat.
Allahumma salli ala
Because the dunya has reached this conclusion that zulm is the result of power and strength. Zulm emanates because you have power, because you have might, because you have strength. Now if you see the words of Ahlul Bayt, you will see. If you open Afatihul Jinnah and you read there about the amal of the night of Jummah, the eve of Jummah. Thursday night, where you see that, for example, they have written down it's Mustahab to read Dua Kamal and all those amal. You see there is a list of duas there. Now you read those duas. In those duas, there is one dua that the Imams have given to read every Thursday night. In it, the Imam is making dua to Allah in this way, with these words. He says that إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ فِي حُكْمِكَ ظُلْمٌ. He says, Allah, there is no dhulm and injustice in your rule, in your authority. There is no dhulm in your rule. You see this, understand this. Why? Then he says these two sentences. There is no dhulm in your rule and there is no haste in your punishment. Meaning first you do not do dhulm to others. And if someone does wrong in your rule, in your government, you don't make haste in punishing them. You see that? وَلَا فِي نِكْمَتَهِ أَجَلًا. Meaning, there is no haste in your nikmah. Nikmah means revenge. Nikmah means punishment. This is two things Imam mentioned. Then he mentions the reason why. He says, إِنَّمَا يَعْجَلُ إِنَّمَا يَعْجَلُ نِكْمَا مَنْ يَخَافُ الْفَوْتِ. You see, here he's saying that the one who does zulm, right? He's saying the one who is hastened in order to take revenge, only those people make haste in punishing people, only those people make haste who are afraid of losing the criminal. You see, if someone does a crime somewhere, he robs a bank. You see, right away the authorities are on the run in order to get that person. They will block the whole area off. They will make sure that they do whatever they can to get him, because they have him in one place and they are able to get him, so they do make all their efforts. But in Allah's government and in Allah's rule, if you do something wrong, Allah does not hasten to punish you. He does not bring you to justice right away. And they're mentioning why? Because those people in this world, they are afraid of losing the criminal. Meaning if he runs away, then we won't be able to find him. We won't be able to punish him. But now you see, Allah's government is that. I say that you don't hasten to punishment because you are not afraid to lose your prisoners. You are not afraid to lose the criminal. Allah is saying, no matter how far you run, where are you going to go? You will still be in my jurisdiction. You can't run away, you cannot hide. And even if you die, you still are coming back to me. You still have to come back to me. So this is the reason Allah does not haste or make haste in taking revenge against any criminal. Why? Because eventually everyone has to go back to him. You cannot hide from him. Others are afraid of losing their prisoners. Allah is not afraid. So this is one. Now I want you to see this. The next one. And this is the reason I mentioned this dua for you, in which the Imam is mentioning. He said, إِنَّمَا يَحْتَاجُ إِنَّمَا يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى ذُو الضَّيْفِ. He says, you don't do dhulm to anyone. Why? Because only those people are in need of doing dhulm and harming others and doing injustice. Only those people are in need of it who are weak. In the words of the Imams and in the words of Allah, you see, dhulm is not because you are strong. Dhulm is because you are weak. When someone who is weak and is not able to achieve what he wants to do, then he relies on dhulm to achieve it. Then he relies on dhulm and injustice to achieve it. If he was able to do what he has to do without dhulm, why would he do it? This is the reason Allah does not do dhulm. Why? Because he doesn't need to. He doesn't need to. Whatever he wants, he will do. And no one can stop him from doing it. No one can stop him from doing it. When those people who are weak and cannot do and cannot achieve their goals, cannot achieve their objective, they are the ones who rely on dhulm and injustice to achieve their objectives. My brothers, imagine how Allah is teaching us what is dhulm. In the words of dunya, they say dhulm is the result of power. And Allah is saying, no, dhulm is the result of weakness. You see, dhulm is the result of weakness. You couldn't get your thing done. You wanted to get something done. You wanted to make this person accept something from you. You couldn't make him do it. So what do? You do injustice to him. You do injustice to him in order to get what you want. Because you couldn't get it in the first place. The reason you're doing injustice is because you did not have the power to do what you wanted to do. So you see, Zulm is not the result of being strong. Zulm is the result of being weak. Understand this. That's why people do Zulm. So if anyone is doing Zulm, it is because of the fact that they are weak, not that they are strong. This is why they're doing Zulm in the world. Anyone who does Zulm on another person is because he's weak. This is how the Imams describe what is the result, what is the reason why Zulm occurs. And I want you to understand this also through some examples so you have a clear understanding of what this is. Send me a salawat.
If I don't do this,
then the people will begin to understand that I'm a common person. They will begin to reason and think, what right do I have to rule over them? This is the reason I do this dhulm and I make everyone be afraid of me, so they never look past that fear to know who I am. My friends, this is, Mansoor is explaining this and saying, listen, I know who I am. If others get to know who I am, then they'll say, why are you the leader? You have nothing in you to be the leader. You have nothing in there for you to be the leader. What gives you the right to make decisions for us or be our king? See, my brother, understand this. What's going on here? Then you can apply it to the rest of the world. He is saying, the reason I do this is because as long as people fear me, as long as they are afraid of me, they will not think that I'm not qualified to be the leader. They would just be afraid of me and obey me. But if I let it go, and if I do not do this, then they'll start to reason and say that, you know, who are you? You see, if you look at the kingdoms of the world, if you look at all the authorities of the world who do dhulm, you see, this is exactly how they deal with others. If you want to go to the Middle East, see the kings over there, what do they do? Not a word can you say about them. Not a thing can you utter about them. And if you say anything against them or against their rule, you see right away, you are absconded. I mean, you have disappeared. No one will know where you came, where you are after that. Why is this? It's because if that fear is not there, then people will start looking at him and say, what gives you the right to be the king? Where did you get this authority from? They'll start to think. You see, this is the reason, you see, one of the reasons why people do dhulm. Why they do dhulm is because they are inferior and they know it. And there are others who are superior, who have more right to this. So as long as they know that there is someone else who has more right to rule over the people than I do, then as long as they exist, that is why I will keep on doing dhulm, so that people are afraid of me and do not ask questions about my being here on this throne. Understand how this is happening. Why this is happening? So you know this. Mansoor's word is showing us that those who do dhulm, they don't do it because they're superior. They do it because they're inferior. Wow. They don't do it because they're stronger. They do it because they're weaker. This is the reason why with all the empire that existed, with all this huge empire that they had, and all these armies that they had, and all of this huge armies that they had, why were they still afraid of one imam who is hiding or living in his house? You see, what happened to an imam? They were under house arrest, they said, keep an eye on them. Why are you keeping an eye on them? You have this whole army. The imams did have an army. They didn't have even people who would visit them. Why are you afraid of him? See, my brothers, as long as the imams were there, they knew that if people started to think, then they would know that they have more authority to rule over us than they do. You see, this is the dhulm that happens. And everyone who does dhulm is because of this. They are inferior. They need to hide their own weaknesses and their own inferiority from other people. This is where dhulm emanates from. This is, you see, how dhulm, it comes out into the dunya. And when it comes to Allah, it is said Allah does not do dhulm. Why? Because Allah, whatever He wants, He gets done. No one can become an obstacle for His will to be done. But no one can become an obstacle. So why does He have to do dhulm on anyone? Why does He have to do injustice on anyone? Allah doesn't need to do injustice. And just like Allah does not do injustice, Those who came from Allah to represent Allah, they also do not do injustice. They also do not do injustice. Just like those, that's like Allah does not do, they don't do injustice. Why? Because they have the backing of Allah's power. They have the backing of Allah's power. So they don't do injustice to others. They don't do harm to others. There's no need to. There's no need to do that. Why? Because we are not afraid how far this goes. You are doing it because you're weak and you want to establish your power. And I'm telling you that this happens. That when we are ruling, it's because of Allah's power. So no matter how long your rule lasts, one day it's going to come down. And Allah's rule, there is no one who can stop it from being established. You see, this is the reason imams do not do zulm. Those who represent Allah and those who are mu'min do not do zulm. And if someone does zulm, he cannot be a mu'min. This is why adl-e ilahi and justice of Allah is one of the usul-e-deen. It is one of the usul-e-deen because of the fact those who believe in it, they know that zulm cannot be done and should not be done and there is no reason for it to be done. Now I want to reach a result over here so you understand. And here from here you go on. So what is the result of believing in Allah's justice? What do we get out of it, my friends? What happens to a person who believes in justice in Allah's adl? The one thing that a person gets for believing in the adl of Allah and for understanding and having the recognition of Allah's justice, the one thing that he gets is known as itminan al-qalb. He has a peace of mind. His heart has at rest. When you believe in Allah's justice, that is one of the things that is given to you. That is the main thing that is given to you from Allah, that you have itminan al-qalb. Your mind is at peace and your heart is at rest. Why? Because you see, in my account there's $100. In your account there's $1 million. Now I can say, this is zulm. See, this is zulm. I say this is zulm. I have 100. He has 1 million. Why do I have 100? Why does he have 1 million? You know? Now obviously the other guy is saying this is justice. Right? And he's saying Allah is just. And I'm saying Allah is doing zulm. If I believed in Allah's adalat and His justice, so now what happens? If I have only 100, if Allah gave me 100, He gave him 1 million. And if I believe that Allah is just, then what I'm giving is through justice, not through zulm. You see, it is given through justice, not through zulm. So I'm happy with what I have because it is a result of justice that I have this. So understand this. When I have less, because what happens? When I have less, so obviously I'm saying this is zulm. If I don't believe in Allah's justice, I say this is zulm. The other guy who has 1 million, he's saying this is justice. Now Allah is saying, listen, what benefit do I get if I change the situation, give you the 1 million and give him the 100? Allah is saying, what benefit do I get? Today, you call me Zalim, he's calling me Adil. If I switch it, you will call me Adil, he'll call me Zalim. You see, what will happen? I mean, the result is the same for Allah. Allah is saying there's no benefit in me giving you more, giving him less. You see, there's no benefit in me. So when Allah is just, He gives everyone the thing that they need through His justice. Whatever they needed. Now let's see, even when it comes to zulm. I am a victim of zulm. a victim of zulm. Someone did zulm on me. Now, if I do not believe in Allah's adl and justice, then I will say, you know, whatever. You know, means, you know, this is zulm, I am a zulm, and, you know, this is all bad. My life is terrible. You're worried, you're anxious. Someone did wrong to me. Right away you'll see. I mean, for little things, my brothers, for little things, you see how soon we lose our peace of mind. For little things, right away we lose it. If someone did wrong to us, let's say, you know, for example, you know, we left the wallet, I don't know, inside the washroom. Right, Vivek? Right, and now we go back to get it. You see all the money is gone. All the money is gone, you know, so right away you say, look at this, you know, oh, your whole mind is now worried. You're anxious. You lost your peace of mind. That's it. Now the whole world is now gone wrong for you. But if you believed in Allah's adl and justice, then you would know that Allah's justice is that you have been wrong. If you have been wrong, then the same way you have been wrong, whoever did injustice to you will be dealt justice one day by Allah. Do you understand what I'm saying, my brothers? Let me give an example so you understand what I just said. Send me a salawat. You know, a Hajjaj ibn Yusuf was a mass murderer. Hajjaj ibn Yusuf was appointed by Abdul Malik ibn Marwan as the general of the Muslim army to go and literally get rid of all the Shia. And he went around, and anyone who would be even associated with the Imams, he would kill them. He would kill them. And he would enjoy killing them. I'm not only killed them, he said he enjoyed killing them. He said that this was the spice of his life. I mean, you can just imagine what type of mentality he had. There was a Shia of Ali who was brought before him. You know, so he said, you're associated with Ali, yes, all right. The next question he asked him was that, what type of death do you want? You're going to be executed anyway. How do you want to be killed? I'll let you choose. You're going to die anyway, so go ahead, you choose. How you want to be killed? You want your head to be cut off? You want a sword to cut your hands and legs and let you bleed? You want to be hanged, you want to be hit by arrows, whatever. I'll let you choose. You see that? He asked him the question, right? Choose. Now obviously, if we were there, knowing that we had to die, we'd say, alright, you know, just hit us with the sword, you know, one shot, right in the neck, make it fast and quick. We have to go, you know, either, I mean, just make it fast and quick so it goes, it's over. But you see, this was a person who was trained by Ahlul Bayt and had the training of Ahlul Bayt. When Hujjaj asked him, how do you want to be killed? Tell me, what method of death do you want? So he replied back with the teachings of Ahlul Bayt of life that he had, that you give me the death, whatever type of death you give me the death that you are going to get the punishment for it in the hereafter. You want to give me a slow death? Then just imagine, that's how you are going to be punished there. You want to give me a fast death? That's how you're going to be punished there. So you are doing good to me, but remember, Allah is saying He is going to get back to you. You see that? He's going to get back to you. I have no, you can give me any type of death you want, it doesn't matter. Because I am also going before Allah, you are also going before Him. And the way you want your punishment there, you give me the death here. However, you want whatever type of, what do you want as a punishment? Tell me. He asked him back. So now he was surprised. What's this? You see, imagine. He is saying that to us, death is not important. To us, death is not important. What is important is to remind you of the hereafter. Is to remind you that the real justice is there, not here. The real punishment is there, not here. This is the reason, my brothers, those who are mu'min and those who believed in Ahlul Bayt, they knew that this is how we think of life and how we think of justice and zulm. Those who believe in Allah's adalat, they are not afraid of death, they are not afraid of zulm. Whatever zulm comes, they know that this is nothing but a prelude to what is going to come after we die. So when we know this is the case, those who believe in the justice of Allah, then they are not afraid of zulm. If you are afraid of zulm, then you do not believe in the justice of Allah. It is a simple equation to understand and how Allah is explaining. If we are afraid of being dealt unjustly with, and if we are afraid of zulm, then there's no way. Why are we afraid of it? We know that Allah is just. We know that He's adil. And we know that His judgment will come. So if that's the case, why are we afraid of it? Just relax. So my friends, the first thing and the greatest thing that happens in the belief in the adl of Allah is that the person who believes in it has itminan al qalb. This is the result of Allah's justice. This is the result of belief in Allah's justice. That your heart is at peace no matter what you go through. No matter what happens to you, your heart is at peace. You will not be anxious or nervous about anything because you know that Allah is just. He will not deal with you unjustly if you have not done wrong. You know that. If you haven't done wrong, what are you afraid of? So as long as you haven't done wrong, you have nothing to be afraid of. You can be at peace. This is the reason those people who believe in this belief in justice, they have this quality in them. And this is the same thing that when we saw the Ahlul Bayt and their example, we saw how Allah gave and showed their description and this value in them and this quality in them. No matter how much you lose this world because of oppression, the whole world is being lost around you. The whole world that you made for yourself is falling apart. All of it is falling apart. Everything that you work for and raised is being destroyed. How would anyone feel? But you see, that whole world comes crashing down around you, but Allah is calling you nafs-e mutmain. Allah is saying you are nafs-e mutmain. You are nafs-e mutmain because of what? Because your world is being destroyed. See, why? Because the belief in Allah's justice has made one such that no matter how much zulm one has to face because of standing for Allah's cause, it doesn't matter to him. This is how you see when Imam Hussein was giving his dunya on the day of Ashura. You see, Allah is calling him nafs al-mutmain. This is what you see. This is how you believe in justice of Allah. This is how you know that as long as you haven't done dhulm, you have nothing to worry about. You have nothing to worry about. And you have a peace of mind. Just keep that, my brothers. But you see, even when you see others, And even when you looked around, you saw how hard was it for those people who were with Imam Hussein. Really, when Imam Hussein was on the ground in the last moments of his life, you know, in the last moments of his life, when he was on the ground and he was going to be beheaded, and Shimr came forward to do the job. And you know, really, the loneliness of Imam Hussein is known through certain things. How lonely he was in his tent. The loneliness of Imam Hussein. When Shimr came to Imam Hussein, because he was encouraging others to go, they won't go. So he came towards Imam Hussein, and it is said that when he was coming towards him, he was taking his sword and hitting it on the ground as he walked. He was hitting it on the ground as he walked. You know, and people asked him, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? You know, because usually what happens is that when you want to slaughter an animal, you want to make sure that the knife is sharp. You want to make sure that the knife is sharp so that the animal does not feel the pain of the knife going through it. You mean you want to lessen the pain for the animal. You make it sharp for them. You make the knife sharp so that the animal does not feel the pain and you can do it fast. You see. And this is Islam also. Islam says make sure that the knife is sharp and not dull. Make sure it is sharp so that the animal doesn't feel the pain. You see, Shimr is hitting the sword on the ground and the people asked him, why are you doing this? He says, don't you see that Hussein is all alone? And I want to show you that he has no helpers. He has no one to come and help him. That's why I'm hitting the sword on the ground to make it dull so I can take my time slaughtering him. I can take my time slaughtering him. My friends, those who give their heart and their heart goes out for Imam Hussein, feel the pain of Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein, looking at all the zulm that is going on, is not afraid of this. In fact, he is in a peace of mind. And the only thing that disturbed him at that point, my brothers, understand this, and you know this, the only thing that disturbed him was that at that very moment, it is said that Zainab came outside the tent to a place and she saw Imam Hussein on the ground. When Imam Hussein saw Zainab outside the tent, he said, Zainab, go back in the tent, I am still alive. I am still alive. So that's one thing that disturbed him. And when he was on the ground and Shimr was getting on top of him, you see the men started running towards the tent. When they started running towards the tent, he said that if you do not have shame being a Muslim, at least be a free man and do not go to my tent while I'm alive. Imagine the pain that he felt of knowing that these men are going to go in the tents and he would not take it while he's alive. He's on the ground being slaughtered, but still he calls out to them and says that at least be free men and do not go there. At least let me die before you go there. Imam Hussein, just thinking that these men are going to come into his tents, you see at that point and that moment of his sacrifice, he turned his attention towards the dunya. And he told these people, now understand the pain Imam Sajjad felt when he came, when he went from Karbala to Kufa and Kufa to Sham. And all this while, Imam Sajjad is looking at the heads of Zainab and Umm Kulthum there in front of the man and people who are looking and jeering at them. Imagine what Imam Sajjad had felt at that point. This is the reason when Imam Sajjad, you see, he was only 25 years old, but he had aged so much in 1 year that he looked like an old man. He had changed. His hair had gone white. His face had gone into wrinkles. His back was bent. He had so much pain in this 1 year. failure of looking and bearing this indignity of having his woman in the bazaar of Kufa and Sham. He had so much pain that when he returned to Medina and his uncle Muhammad Hanafiya came out to meet the caravan, he actually came to Imam Sajjad and said, "Is there is my nephew Ali ibn Husayn? Is he in this caravan?" Imam Sajjad said, "Uncle, don't you recognize me? I am your uncle." He said, "My nephew, what happened? This white hair, this wrinkled face, this aging, you are an old man. What happened?" Three times he said, "Asham, Asham, Asham."